It's Tuesday, November 10th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a prominent tech podcast network. Hey, folks, a little shaky start tonight. Computers are not cooperating. Stream is not cooperating. But yes, I'm here. And you know what that means. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
No.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, how you doing? Welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. You can sign up for our newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show and all the listener-submitted articles. Tonight, there's going to be a bonus link in the show notes. You'll only get that link in the show notes. And because what I'm going to show you is Google Street View of the hacienda here in Honolulu. Google announced today that Hawaii has been added to the Street View view. So those of you that are subscribed to the newsletter, you guys can get a little look of the outside of the proverbial studios here overlooking Greater Oahu, and have this available up, of course, in tonight's show notes. So get signed up for the newsletter, and you'll get that extra info. Of course, I want to welcome all the Ohana to the show. Hey, thanks for coming and hanging out. And for those of you that are with me on Ustream, hey, thank you very much for coming and hanging out with us tonight on that that channel as well. Of course, I want to welcome new listeners to the show. Hey, this show is created twice a week. I record every Monday and Thursday night for a Tuesday and Friday morning release here in Honolulu. So it's usually in your basically ready to be downloaded about 4 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time. So make sure that you have your podcatcher set up to download the show and get it basically delivered automatically, so you get all the great geekness here that I produce at the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, I want to welcome listeners from 160 countries worldwide and remind everyone to take the big survey. This is the last week of the big survey, and all the podcasters at Tech Podcast, Blueberry, Raw Voice, they all know that this is the last week. This is a big push. If you haven't done the newsletter yet, make sure that you do so. The response has been pretty amazing, so we're going to have great results to share with the podcasters on the team that actually ran a survey as well. So look forward to getting the results of that. And basically, we'll share that with you guys too, okay? I want to give a big, 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 and I can't say this enough, big thank you to all of the listeners of the show that reviewed the category entries for the podcast awards. It was a big job. And I estimated 3 hours really to do a category, and it turns out some of you work 4 or 5 hours on an individual category. I really appreciate the hard work. I understand there was we had a few reviewers that ran into conflicts. There was a death in the family. Another individual had trouble opening up an Excel spreadsheet because they were on a Mac. They weren't using Office. And I understand there's always a little bit of adjustment we have to make each year. But we made the announcement, or I made the announcement, Saturday afternoon, of all of the shows that have made the 2009 slate. I'm very pleased with the slate. Now, those of you that are reviewers, you will notice that there are some categories you can say, hey, Todd, that show is like number 13 or number 14 on the list. And what we've done is we had to join since we had reviewers looking at each category, there are two reviewers looking at each category, we had to join the categories from those both reviewers, racking and stacking them that way. And then what we had to do was there was some shows that were nominated in as many as five categories that made the top 20. So we had to remove, basically pick the best category. And the way we did that was by the number of votes. So let's say a show got 5,000 votes in the tech category, but got 10,000 nominations in the video category. That's the category we stuck them in if it fit. So there is a little bit of an adjustment there. And I think you'll see, as if you look at the categories that you reviewed and look at your master list, you'll see that there's been a little shuffling there in a few of those. But we definitely appreciate your reviewing, and it's a process. Once we get your paperwork back, when I send it off to the accounting firm and they send me this list back, and it's got all these metrics, and it's kind of cool how they do it. But in the end, basically they certify the list, and I basically sign off, and then we post the results. So voting is going to start on the 13th of November. We're going to run voting a little longer because of Thanksgiving approaching. And we're going to run through the Thanksgiving holiday all the way to the 30th of November. So folks will get a few extra days to vote. So if you're one of the shows that made the list, make sure you get your audiences prepped because they can vote every day starting on the 13th. We're still looking for a few more sponsors. We're a little bit short on the amount of money we have to raise. My goal every year is to raise about $4,500. And the reason for that is the trophies make up probably $3,700, $3,800 of that. Plus, I have fixed expenses for the server, fixed expense for the auditing firm, the programmer that takes care of the site and everything. So hopefully we can get a few more sponsors over there, and that's knocking on wood here, or we're going to have to look at the prizes that we're going to be giving out and whether or not we can support all those. So great way to get some exposure for your business or for your podcast. By becoming a sponsor, and look forward to if anyone wants to come over there and sponsor basically a 120 by 120 pixeled advertisement on the website. Great way to get some great exposure starting here from the 13th to the end of the month, because there will be literally millions of page views during that time frame. What else we got going on here? Here's something I'm looking for, folks, and putting a call to action out. We're Andy McCaskey and I and Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine podcast met after our roundtable this past Saturday, talk about CES a little bit, working on some logistics. We're actually looking like we may have maybe two or three team members that are going to join us from TPN that came into the mailing list today. So we got our fingers crossed on that. We may end up with a pretty big team in Vegas this year. And you got to thinking about that today, and I'm going to need video editors. One of the biggest challenges that we have is after every CES is we have 120, 130 videos that all need to be edited, dropped into our template, show notes written, basically the full write-ups. So I'm looking for some video editors in which I can FedEx, at the completion of each day's worth of shooting, a drive that will contain essentially all the HD video that we've shot that day. We're going to be shooting exclusively in .MLV format and HD, so we need folks that can handle that format either in Final Cut Pro or another application that's out there that they may use. We'll provide all the templating and stuff so that all you have to really do is cut and paste and get the placement right. And then also we'll be looking for you to on a schedule, be putting those videos up on a variety of websites and also over at blip.tv or maybe even TubeMogul, West, depending on if we work the deal with them to get the distribution down this year. So I'm looking at least maybe four or five video editors for really a quick turnaround after the end of the show. We want to get these videos out and online and on a published schedule. So if you are in the market and you are able to spend some time starting the week of January the 5th, 2010, to put some time in for us, let us know. Pay you for your time, and we'll get you up and get you going. But again, I'm looking for, I think, five video editors, and probably each editor will probably end up with about 25 videos, which is really quite a bit of work. And so let me know. Okay, and you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. If those of you can't see in the show, but tonight I am not messing like I have. Of course, those of you on the audio, listen to audio, you guys don't know, but I've had a boom here in the office for the last 2 years that really has given me some trouble recently. And it's not held my microphone in the position that I was always twiddling with it during the show and adjusting it and making sure it was right. I bought a boom from Heil. They call it the PL2T. And I've got my blue mic hanging on it. And so far, this thing's doing okay. We'll know in 6 months after I've, it's been sitting out here and hanging on the springs whether or not how well it works. But I got a new boom, and that should keep the distractions down for me up here reaching and playing with this a lot. So I'm pretty happy with that. Got that installed yesterday. Hey, one thing that I wanted to bring up is on a family matter. It's Saturday. My daughter and I attended what they call their CAP rewards banquet. My daughter started the Civil Air Patrol. It's kind of like a mini ROTC for air. It's basically in the Air Force line. Of course, for some reason here in Hawaii, they don't have a big Navy ROTC program, but which is weird because it's so much huge Navy presence. But she's been participating in this program called CAP. And it's been pretty good. It's a nice little structured progress. They learn about aviation. She's got an interest in going into that field. So even if she decides to go to college and be a pilot or whatever she may decide to do when she gets ready to graduate high school, this will kind of have set her up a little bit. And so we went to the dinner, and very interesting. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Civil Air Patrol, but it's really kind of my first big exposure to it, and I was pretty astounded. They have like 500 aircraft nationwide. They participate in drug interdiction with Homeland Security. They do search and rescue. They provide emergency services, and I was pretty astounded because I really didn't even have a clue. And so I kind of dialed in with what they were all about. If there's a CAP in your area and you're interested in aviation, it's not only for just young adults, or actually 12 to 18-year-olds, but also there's a senior category where you can get involved and participate, and kind of a great little community organization. So I'll be talking more about this in the future, but if you want to participate in search and rescue, emergency services, you don't have to have a military background whatsoever. All you got to do is have a desire to participate. And one thing that's even cooler about it for the kids is because they've got over 500 aircraft nationwide, free flight instruction for your teenager. Now, I heard that, and I was like, that kind of set me back, because getting your private pilot license these days is not inexpensive. To someone to solo when they're 16, 17, 18 years old sets them up for life. Really, it really does. So, if you've got anyone in your family that's interested in aviation, this is a great gateway into that community, and lots of people that are very, very connected. And, it's just amazing what you learn just by going to a dinner. I knew she was participating in this thing, but I didn't really have, this full on recognition of what it was all about. So anyway, that's it. Hey, on the contest that I was running for the suggestion for the video product, haven't had time to implement the idea that I want to implement first. Things have just been crazy here. So what I'll probably do is take the contest out to Friday, and then we'll award someone a nice prize. So I'll do that on the Friday show. Apologize I didn't do it today, but that's the case. Hey, make sure you get over to geeknewscenter.com. Check out the free magazine offers on the website. You'll find that in the second and third column of the website. And, of course, we want you to support our sponsors as well. GoDaddy.com. Domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts. Really, that's where you go to get online products. And when you're over there and you're getting ready to check out, you'll definitely want to use my promo codes, because it's going to save you a lot of cash. And with the way today's economy is, and with the way they keep taking more taxes and everything else going on, we need to save every buck possible. And to do so, use my promo code TODD. That'll save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale, will get you .com renewals at $7.49 and .com registrations. Todd20 will get you 20% off on a one-year shared hosting account. That's, again, 20%, Todd20. So, again, all of my promo codes are on the link to the website. Share it with your friends and make sure that they use my promo codes. It puts dollars in the bank for me and helps me keep the lights on here at the Geek News Central. Hey, as I mentioned, on Saturday we did a roundtable. And for those of you that have upgraded to Windows 7, you have got to see this product called Connectify. If you haven't upgraded to Windows 7, and when you see this demo, you are going to want to upgrade. I am not kidding you. It's my sole reason for upgrading some machines. Now, that there's another story with that I'm going to talk about in a second. But Connectify.me is the website. If you got a Windows 7 machine, you got to go over there. But check out the demo. The latest roundtable is posted at techpodcast.com. The link, find a link to it on the main page of the website or go to the blog. Of course, that event is sponsored by GoToMeeting. You'll see how powerful that application is. Hey, you know, I want to talk about how I used GoToMeeting in October. You know, I was traveling a lot, spending a lot of time away from home. And there was many days that I was leaving the GoToMeeting session open, and I was using it kind of as a virtual office. Team members from Raw Voice were popping into the meeting session at will, basically maybe to show me graphics, show me go over proposals they were getting ready for Blog World, you know, just this plethora of things that were happening all at once, partnership agreements. I mean, it was just one thing after the other. And I got to thinking about it here last week, and I thought, man, it was just like having office hours, is when you're 9 to 5 and the doors open and staff's bringing in stuff. Now, the Raw Voice team, we all work independently, but we all share stuff with each other when we're getting ready to do a document approval. And usually that's email back and forth, boom, 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 boom. You know, you're 25 emails in and you're sick of the topic already. Well, two or three of us could bounce into my open GoToMeeting session in my virtual office, because basically everyone knew the code that I was in during that whole day. Bop in, we'd look at the document, we'd talk about it right there on the computer, did this right from the hotel room in the voice IP session. Boom, they would get done, they would blast out. Then Jeff would bounce in with something else on the music side, and it was cool. It really, really was. And so if you've ever thought about running a virtual office, or if you have thought about having your employee work from home and you want to be able to have this quick interaction with them, that paid the $49.95 that the application cost per month right there. Just those 2 or 3 days of use where we were in this virtual meeting back and forth, the time saved was remarkable. So if you've ever thought about hiring a virtual assistant, you can always be right. And you can have a separate computer on the side actually doing it if you're doing it that way. But it was awesome. If you don't want them to see your screen, it was cool. It really, really was. So, hey, you can get a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting by going to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Think about this thing as a virtual office. Don't think about it as, you know, it's just an additional facet of its capability. And it was really cool. So I've talked enough on that, but I just wanted to share with you kind of how we use the app when I was on travel in October. You know, usually you do the meeting to save you from going on travel, right? But I was on travel and using it more. It was crazy. It was cool. It really was. Okay, let me look at my list here. Yep. I've covered all that. And I think I'm good to go. Let me go ahead and close this window because this thing is acting a fool right now. Like, what's going on, folks? It's just before we started the show tonight. Mouse quit working. So I went back behind the monitor where it was plugged in, unplugged it from its USB spot, and stretched it over and plugged it into another one. And now it's just like when I move it across the screen, it's not this fluid movement. It's choppy. I think I know what I did. I tried to add one more element of how should we say it? One more element of complexity to my what I was going to provide from the screen tonight. I was actually going to try to show my screen on the Ustream stream, and I pushed it a little too hard, so I'm going to get a second monitor, one of those little mini ones that hang off it, and we'll push from that in the future. Okay, let me go ahead here and get into the content. first thing I want to talk about is a essentially it's a study I do every year. And this year I paid a number of folks, I actually paid a firm in the Philippines to run a basically do some checking for me. It took every site that received at least during the podcast awards, all these nominations come in. And some shows get one or two or three nominations. Some get 1,000. Some get 100. What I did is I took every show that received more than 10 nominations, which totaled a total of 2,381 websites across the 22 categories. Some categories have more. Some categories have less. It all depends. Some of them have duplicates in it. It's just it's kind of nuts on how people do nominations. But I sent off that list to my firm in the Philippines, and they've been working for 3 weeks on this data. They visited every site that was on that list. And they did the team that's doing the grading, they look at 20 sites. This is a completely separate effort. It's not part of the review process, but the folks from the show that actually reviewed looked at 20 sites. Now imagine the team there looking at 2,381 sites. So I paid for this separately out of my pocket, and I came up with some stats, and I basically posted a post on my website called The State of the Podcast Sphere Part 1. And what I found was pretty shocking. In this day and age, as they were going through the websites, they found that 21% of sites had invalid podcast RSS feeds. In other words, the RSS feed in itself was completely invalid. 59% had feeds with errors, but basically came up valid. 51% of the sites that they viewed had an RSS icon on their default landing page that was a blog feed only. It wasn't even for their podcast. Another 21% had an RSS icon on their default landing page that was podcast ready. 23% had a podcast RSS feed buried on a subpage in their website. Overall, only 44% of the sites had a podcast RSS feed that they could find that they could subscribe to. And I actually had them subscribe to it in a podcatcher to make sure that it would actually try to download shows. 81% though had a visible iTunes subscription icon. 93% had a visible iTunes subscription icon someplace on their website. Now check this out. 13% of you listen to the show via the Zoom. You have subscribed via the Zoom because I've got a Zoom button on my website. Of those 2,381 sites, only 6% had a Zoom Marketplace icon on their website. Just completely blew me away. 43% had a visible email contact, 14% had a newsletter sign-up page, 11% had a call-in number. Now, check this out, though. 88% of the sites had good unique branding. That's a complete increase from the years before. 59% had less than one paragraph of show notes for their past five podcasts. How do they expect Google to find them? 51% had a physical download link. 71% were creating audio only. Now, check this out. 71% were creating audio only. 9% were creating video only. 20% were creating audio and video. And what really blew me away, only 23% of the podcasters were blogging as well as doing video and audio audio and video content. 23% number of podcasters were blogging as well as some form of podcasting content. And then, 19% were creating audio, video, and blog post. But check this out, 66% of the total nominations, in other words, the ones that actually made the nomination list, were shows creating audio, video, and blog post. That has to tell people something. It has to tell them that if they're blogging, they're doing audio, and they're doing video, they have a much more higher chance of getting traction on their shows. Sadly, only 3% of sites are mobile ready, and I'm even guilty of that. Geek News Central is not mobile ready. 37% did not have their shows listed on Blueberry. 51% didn't have their shows listed on Podcast Alley. 14% did not have their shows listed on podcast.com. And 41% had a Twitter link on their website. 53% had a Facebook link on their website. But the whole thing about people just seem to think that people only consume media on their iPhone. And I'm pretty adamant. I don't understand why these folks just don't get it. it's like they don't have a clue. And it's amazing. I guess podcasters don't understand that there are hundreds of devices that can't sync to iTunes. You know, we're 5 years into this, and they're still seeing this crap. It just blows me away. Now, to top it off, the comments on the website were pretty good. But you should have seen the hate mail that I have gotten over this article. I have been called every name in the book that can be considered. Who are you to judge? Who do you know to what to talk about? You know, calling me, you know, do I come across as arrogant on this article? Isn't this just stats? You know, I'm pretty amazed. I'm pretty amazed at the response. First of all, they didn't have the guts to leave a comment on the blog. Instead, they have to attack me via email. You know who you are. You're listening. Well, I'm sorry. You don't like the data. Just go somewhere else. But, wow. I just, you know, you don't know how much money I spent to do this. But I do this every year because I want to know. So, what do you guys think? Love to hear your feedback on this. Please, please, please go over to geeknewscentral.com and read this. Retweet it, blog a link to it. Again, this data has nothing to do with how Podcast Awards voting slate was derived, okay? That was done by listeners of this show. This data was essentially put together by a team of folks in the Philippines. And I couldn't afford it to have done some U.S. company to do it because the team in the Philippines, I paid a flat rate. I don't know if they'll do it another year, but they did it this year. All right, I'm going to start the tech news out with two articles that I have seen that I don't necessarily agree with the first article in its assessment. It was over on TechCrunch, and it was a blast on citizen journalists and how they can't handle the truth. And it was a talk about what was going on in Fort Hood and how some individual was actually Twittering while news was still breaking on what was going out there. The article itself, I mean, kind of okay. It is what it is by this guy by the name of Paul Carr. But, you know, irregardless, if someone was a little irresponsible doing Twitter posts, that's usually not the case. Usually the citizen journalist is right on the money. And the individual that was doing some stuff was probably a little insensitive and probably will end up getting in trouble by the military, I would imagine. I can't imagine them not. Considering they were taking pictures in a hospital and the whole privacy right and all that stuff, it's going to be ugly for that individual. But what I want you to pay attention to on this article, and I mean, you got to go see it, is the video that is entitled This American Life. It's on YouTube, but I have the link up to the show notes on the TechCrunch, and you got to watch this video. I want to hear your comments. Send me comments at geeknews@gmail.com on this particular video and tell me what you think. And, of course, you can call in at 619-342-7365 and leave your comments on that as well. Okay, the second one is another video I want you to watch. And this was over – actually – did I lose it? Oh, no. No, I've got it. It's over on Gizmodo. And it's called Trillions. The history of computing video shows why we are doomed. This is a completely separate subject. Talks about how right now we've got 1 billion people on the internet. But this video goes into what's going to happen when we have trillions of devices on the internet, which we're not too far away from. And I want you guys to compare and contrast. The first video was about citizen journalism and, you know, what's maybe coming. And then the second one is about where we're headed in the tech field and in our online world. And this will blow your mind. If I don't get any comments off this, then I might as well quit doing the show. But I want you guys to watch both of those and email me. And, of course, call the voicemail hotline and give me your guys' thoughts on these. So I have these linked up, first two things, in the actual show notes tonight. All right, those of you down under, sorry. I guess you guys got the first iPhone worm. Did you get Rickrolled? Well, some dude down in Australia put together a hack that would basically change your wallpaper on your iPhone. and change it from whatever you had to a Rickroll. So this is apparently the first ever iPhone worm, and it's currently infecting the jailbroken iPhones down in Australia. And the worm is called the icky worm because it takes advantage of the fact that jailbroken phones, iPhones with SSH installs, so have some same default password of Alpine. So make sure you change your default password. But anyway, this will be up in the show notes. And did you get Rickrolled yet on your iPhone? Okay, let's talk a little bit about Snow Leopard. If you have had your Mac turned on today, like I turned mine on here just before the show, immediately said you need to download this huge update. Oh, my goodness. It was like 500 megs. It fixes a huge number of bugs. This is the largest bug release that Apple has had in over a year. Over 40. It provides about 20 fixes for the general operating system, fonts, graphics, mail fixes, a mobile me fixes, network file system fixes. Maybe now I'll be able to see my other computers on the network. Safari fixes, you name it. And it took forever. It took forever. Download didn't take forever. But the update of the machine, it just sat there churning. I was like, come on. I got to start the show, and it was finally it rebooted and was ready to go. But huge number. So if you haven't upgraded your Mac, you're going to get a huge download here tonight or tomorrow. Next time you check for updates. Next article is over on GigaOM, and I have to just kind of laugh at this one here because it really should set you back and think. How many of you are talking with your parents on Skype now as a primary communication vehicle? How many of you are getting your kids to call grandma on Skype? Or as a friend of mine's wife calls it, Skippy? how many of you are doing that? Well, the article over in GigaOM is saying that with the U.S. carrier trend going down, even the wireless carrier trend going down, and voice IP stuff going up, even though we're cutting our wired lines, they're actually starting to see a decline in mobile usage, specific type of mobile usage. And, of course, the voice is going mostly over the internet. Now, data on mobile phones is, you know, straight up. But the actual voice capabilities is actually on a decline. So this article basically goes into this guy that talked to his dad all the time on a cell phone. And he was talking about his grandkids. Are talking about the grandchildren, and you know, the father said, "Hey, hang this thing up, load Skype up. I want to talk and see the kids." I think that's kind of a trend that we're going to see. Grandma and grandpa don't want to see; they don't want to just talk. They want to see now, right? So, where's this going? Is this going to? I know my kids call grandma on Skype, especially overseas. The relatives in Japan. All the time on Skype. Matter of fact, it's on my wife's computer, and the camera's like permanently fixed to a spot where grandma can see the kids whenever she wants to from Japan. So I think Skype is, if nothing else, it's going to be the video chat application of choice for the very near future. Now, Google bought a company today. They're going to try to compete with Skype, and that was in the news. We'll talk a little bit about that later. Hey, over in Clearwire, they're looking for $1.5 billion infusion of cash. I went to the Sprint store here in Honolulu. What night was it? Friday, and popped in there and said, "Hey, I want to pick up a 3G/4G card." And the lady looked at me like I was talking Greek, and she says, "We got a 3G card." And I'm like, "Do you know what's going on with 4G?" And she kind of shook her head. And I looked at the other guy, and he kind of shrugged, and I'm like, this is not a good sign when store staff have not a clue that 4G is coming to Honolulu. I said, "Well, can you bring it up on the online?" And she brought it up online, and I said, "Do you have that?" And I pointed to the wireless device that I wanted, and she looked in her stock. "Nope, we don't have it." I said, "When are you going to get them?" And she says, "It's not saying." And I'm like, "Well, I heard some of 4G's turned on here in Hawaii. Can I get, you know, order this?" And she didn't know. So essentially I went online with Sprint today and I ordered my new card. It'll be in midweek. But Sprint is in for everything now. They have essentially bet the farm. They're going to have to lay up about another $1 billion in cash for Clearwire to do some more of this rollout. But Clearwire's got to get busy. They got to get Clear launched. They got to get this 4G network up. They got to get it going. Hey, I'm standing here with my wallet open, ready to pay. And I know a lot of other people are. We're pretty excited about this. The only challenge that we're going to have is that the Clear signal is going to be in like the 2500 megahertz spectrum, whereas the Verizon LTE is going to be in the 900 range. The 900 range has a much better wall penetration. I think if anything else, that's where there probably will be the challenge with Clear, as they're operating at a higher frequency range. So it will be interesting to see how well these things pierce not only wooden structures, which, you know, I think Clear will probably do okay, and Sprint as well. But I think that Clear and Sprint will have a challenge when it comes to concrete structures. So that'll be the true test. And I have a place where I go quite often where I'm in a building. I'm on like an interior wall where today my Verizon signal is terrible, but I can get Sprint. Now we'll see what happens when LTE comes online and who's the winner there. But $1.5 billion is what Clear needs. Hey, you know, this is, you know, it's funny here. Some people love the Droid. Some people hate the Droid. Scoble says the Droid fails as a product when compared to the Palm Pre or iPhone. And Dave Weiner says, I love the Droid. And it's amazing how you have two really sophisticated tech geeks and how they can have such a complete different view on a phone based upon how they use it. So everyone's saying the Droid screen is rocks. They're saying, though, that the Droid itself, in its basically in how it's been constructed, is a little bit left to desire. Primarily, Scoble said that the battery cover was popping off after a day of use, and that was annoying. That would be annoying. A brand new phone in the you know, that just is total lack of quality control. But being able to multitask on the Android versus the iPhone, where you cannot, in other words, run more than one app. So they say, of course, Scoble says great things about the Verizon speed and the voice quality, but then he goes into this whole lack of, you know, bashing the thing and complaining about how it won't do high-res video, how it doesn't have very many, how the apps that are like for Facebook and so forth, they're much lower quality. So anyway, I think it depends on what your use is, on what's going to, on how you're going to like it. But I'll have a compare and contrast, Robert's article up in the show notes, and of course Dave's as well. And those of you that are sitting on the fence and waiting to get a Droid or haven't played with one yet, we'll definitely have, you get some, you know, there's 100 reviews out there, but it's kind of cool to get the geeky guys that are using this thing for geeky things to find out where the real comparison lays in some true real world utilization. All right, over on Robin Good's website, hey, professional video editing software comparison guide to the best video editors. This is a pretty good article by Robin Good. And there, I learned some things with this too. And he overviews Avid Media Composer, Final Cut Pro 7, Adobe Premiere Pro CS4, Avid Liquid Pro 7, Sony Vegas Movie Studio 9 Premium. And I don't know if I consider Sony Vegas a premium video editing application, but he includes it here. Sorensen Media Squeeze 6, and then goes into basically different comparisons, how it input formats, output formats, whether it has AVHCD format. In other words, will it support the Sony webcams that are doing digital recording? Talk about FLV input support. So there, I tell you, Adobe Premiere, the more I look at Adobe Premiere and the features Adobe Premiere can do, it really makes me sit back and go, it really, really does. The only bad thing is with Adobe Premiere, no MOV format or MP4 output, which is really too bad. But, you know, it's just one of those licensing things. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Okay. 50 state views of Street View. I said that today that Google announced Street View for Hawaii. I've got two links will be in the actual show notes, will be up on the blog, and the third one, well, again, I said the will be a link to the Hacienda here in Honolulu of Geek News Central, and a pretty good street view. Now, you guys will be able to find it if you figure out what my address is, which is not too hard to figure out if you're knowing where to look on my website. But anyway, I'll have this link up and give you guys the direct link to it so that you guys can go check it out, okay? Microsoft Bing is giving free Wi-Fi use in J-Wire hotspots. So if you get someplace around an air terminal, you're out in town at a coffee shop, and they have J-I wire access, you'll definitely want to bounce right into that bad boy, because what you already got to do is you get free Wi-Fi by simply doing a search on Microsoft Bing. Opens up, lets you surf the net for free. So I get a little exposure to Bing, and at the same time get some free Wi-Fi access. So good job by the folks at Microsoft. Okay, let me go ahead here, and this next article has been kind of brewing with me, or this next subject's been brewing with me all weekend. The statement came out by Rupert Murdoch, that they're essentially going to cut Google off. He's thinking about cutting Google off, in that he's not going to let Google index any of their news websites, Fox, any of the properties that Robert Murdoch essentially controls. And the response by Google was, okay, if they want to block us, so be it. It's the publisher's choice. You know, we will remove them from the index if that is so what they want. But Mark Cuban makes a comment here that made me sit back and think a little bit. It says, Robert Murdoch to block Google equals smart equals Twitter has changed it all. And I got to thinking about this, and I don't know if I necessarily 100% agree, but Mark is saying that Twitter is changing the way we find news, and that real-life streaming information about what's going on the net is coming through Twitter much faster it is than regular news organizations, and that Twitter is probably the biggest threat to Google of any service that's in existence right now. And I have to admit, if you have a refined Twitter list, you get basically kind of rid of the folks that are always talking about walking their dog, then you can actually find a lot of good information in the Twitter stream as long as you can keep up. My problem is I walk away from it for 3 hours, and the custom streams I've set up, there's already 2,000 Twitters, and then how can I go back and, you know, cull all that data out? As soon as someone figures out how to build lists, that then they can derive link popularity from, and or else you can submit your own list, and it produces you kind of a rack and stack of what everyone's talking about. That, my friends, will make someone a lot of money. I could replace NewsReader, Google Reader, if I had the ability to really be able to sort those trends out on the follow list that I have so designated. Those lists have become very valuable to set up. Right now they're public. There's no way you really can hide a list that you've set up, which is good. But, you know, the list Scoble came up with was pretty awesome, but I saw so much repeat stuff there that I really didn't want to, you know, have to click through. Well, I knew it was duplicate, so it was kind of a waste of my time. But as soon as someone culls that data out, it'll be good. The temperature here in the studio tonight is about 90. The trades have slowed down, and I'm not getting any breeze, and it's warm in here. Very, very warm. Big news out of Google today. They have purchased AdMob for $750 million in stock. This is a big bet on mobile advertising, and I think we've all seen it on our mobile phones. Different apps are running. We're seeing advertising. Well, going to be powered by Google. This is not a surprise purchase. Everyone kind of thought that AdMob was going to be, its biggest target acquisition, but was by Google. There was a rumor there for a little while that Apple may be. Now, the folks at AdMob were getting ready to raise another $50 million in cash to go for an initial public offering next year, but they don't have to. They're part of the Google family now. Google acquired them and paid it all in stock. So a nice little purchase by Google. We'll see what happens here. Google's getting serious on mobile, and as the rest of us need to be and are. Hey, kind of cool article out of New York Times. Sony's going to be offering film, a.k.a. films, on the internet, TV, then DVD. This is a change. Remember last week we were talking about how the through control of what's going to be pushed onto our DVR, that they were going to delay first-run movies, or some movie houses were going to be, not movie houses, but, you know, Universal and those kind of folks. They were going to delay the availability of movies on your television until after the DVD was released. I think this is smart by Sony. Sony's going to offer film on the internet, TV, then DVD. So the DVD will be the last release. Wouldn't it make sense if they're going to have a flop? If no one's going to buy it on TV, why do you print the DVD? You know, why do you put out a million DVDs? Maybe you put out 100,000 instead of a million. Might be smart by them. Now, it's not necessarily going to be cheap to get the film on the internet. They say they're going to, you know, it'll be around the same, you know, they're going to have a different pricing structure because they're going to try to make it around the same price as what you would pay for a DVD. So, you know, I don't know if that's smart. Give me a discount. $14.95, $12.95, $11.95, and let me buy it and download it, burn my own DVD, instead of paying $24.95 at the retailer, at Walmart or someplace like that. So keep you advised. We'll see what happens with Sony if this strategy pans out. All right, over on Mobile Crunch, 10 apps that all new Android users should check out. So those of you that have a Droid or any other Android phone, we've got a list here of some pretty cool apps you need to check out. And I'd like to hear from the Android users, the Droid users, what your favorite apps are. And it's simply because we hear everything about the iPhone. We hear about apps every day about the iPhone. We need to hear about some apps on the Android. So if you're a Droid user, I want to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline +1 619-342-7365. All right, over on Ars Technica, we talked about the data breach notification legislation in progress last week. It is a step closer to law. Senate Bill 139 is progressing, but one thing that they're stating here, that they're not real happy about this data, basically Senate Bill 139 will require companies to notify us if our credit card data is breached. In other words, if there's someone gets out of a computer that someone's got all our credit card numbers on and so forth, they don't have a time frame listed. They don't say 90 days, 60 days, 30 days, 2 weeks, 24 hours, nothing like that. The bill says they should be made without unreasonable delay. Now, if I'm a company CEO, Sierra, what's an unreasonable delay? A year? And what's to say they're not going to get in trouble? Oh, man. And, of course, the second bill, the Personal Data Privacy and Security Act, Senate Bill 1490, which is largely focused on punishing entities for not disclosing data breaches. This goes on to say this bill states that anyone with knowledge of a security breach who is not exempt cannot conceal that information without a fine. How do you know if you're exempt? Who do they exempt? Banks? The Federal Reserve, the U.S. government, who's exempt? Doesn't that sound like a get-out-of-jail-free card for somebody? Be exempt and not have to report a security breach? Boy, they put some fancy language in these bills. And you know what? These congressional reps need to do in their jobs and protecting consumers. It's just amazing. All right, Firefox has turned 5. And, wow, what a road we've come down. But today, sadly, as well, there was an article out saying that Firefox in the first half of 2009 had more security issues than all the other browsers out there, which disappoints me. There is a little bit of a theory behind that. They're saying that because Firefox has such a wide base of plugins now, that it's really causing Firefox to be more security prone. So if you're running a whole bunch of plugins, you know, be careful. Make sure you get them from reputable sources. I know that Firefox is trying to, you know, do a verification of plugins to make sure that you're getting something that isn't just really loaded with malware. You know, just don't download something that someone recommends. Make sure you go look at the reviews on the Mozilla website. Boy, I'm going to run long tonight. I can see it already. So anyway, we'll have both of those articles up. Hey, information out of the BBC. Hey, those of you in the UK, oh my goodness. You guys thought you had enough cameras in the country? Well, the Home Office is saying it will push ahead with plans to ask communication firms to monitor all internet use. Ministers confirmed their intention, despite concerns and opposition from some in the industry, asking firms to retain information on how people use social networks such as Facebook. Wow. Both the police and secret security services have legal powers in the UK to intercept communications in interest of combating crime or threats to national security. But the rules largely focus on communications over telephones, and this change will require communication service providers, ISPs, to collect and retain records of communications from a wider range of internet sources, social networks, chat rooms, unorthodox methods such as online games. Huh. Yeah. Okay. They're going to monitor online games? Oh, my goodness. Are we fast approaching a police state? My goodness. All right, Microsoft defends Windows 7 security after the Surface test. Last show, we talked about how there was a report out that Windows 7 user account control was easily and was very ineffective at fighting malware. The folks over at Microsoft came out swinging and basically saying, hey, these results are incorrect. We don't agree with the testing. Basically fighting words, and the folks over at Sophos get a little bit of egg on their face. They're not real happy with Microsoft's very aggressive attack against them. I'll let you guys read the full context of this article. But the folks at Sophos are, I guess, apologizing for sensationalizing the issue when it was not necessarily meant to be sensational, just stating a few things that they found. So I'll have the link to this in the show notes. All right, over on Slashdot. How many of you live in New Jersey? How would you like to have a dome over your city? Oh, this is not in New Jersey. It's in Vermont. A Vermont city of 7,000 residents who paid over $4 million years in heating bills have asked the HUD, I guess that's a Housing and Urban Development, to consider funding a proposal where they would put a dome that was kept up by air pressure basically over the top of the city. There will be no more heating bills, fly fishing all year, no more snow shoveling. And to this day, the former city planners insist that's economically a slam dunk. Who wants a dome over their house? I'm sorry. I want to be able to see the sky. Can you imagine? Can you imagine even residents even considering that? You know what would happen? They'd get that dome up, and some kids would figure out how to burn that thing down. Or they would be shooting their guns through it or something, you know, tearing holes in the thing. And they went last a week. Oh. All right, researchers neutralized Parkinson dopamine killers. Now, this is big. Iowa State researchers have made a breakthrough that could eventually lead to a cure for Parkinson's. And any of you that have family members and known someone with Parkinson's, you know how devastating this is. They've identified the protein that kills the dopamine-producing cells in the brain and has allowed the researchers to disable it and could be the first step in develop a new treatment. This is big. Big, 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 big. So we'll see how long this takes to reach something in the market. But for all of you that are, you know, have markers for Parkinson's and so forth. This is huge. All right, Phoenix lander spotted from orbit. The NASA Mars Phoenix lander, whose mission ended almost a year ago, I guess has been spotted in images taken in recent month by the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. Now, here's the exciting thing. This thing is, it's been winter on Mars, where the Mars Phoenix lander's been. And as early as this winter, and they're going to try, and in early 2010, to wake the Phoenix lander up. It's been in a deep freeze, and they're going to try to communicate with it here as soon as spring returns to Mars and the landing site. So this is we'll see how good NASA is. They think it's very probably the chances are very low, but you know, I think it would be cool if they could wake this thing up. And I don't know if the batteries will have exploded, if it's gotten too cold, who knows, but we'll see what happens with this. But wouldn't it be cool if they were able to wake it up? A few more space junk issues close to the International Space Station. Some debris close within 500 meters. Crew was almost ordered into the Soyuz capsule, but they didn't have to do that. But this is like the second time in recent days where they've had close calls by space debris. I think it's just a matter of time before they get whacked, sadly. There's so much junk up there. All right, how many of you go to Panera Bread quite a bit? How many of you use their Wi-Fi while you're there? We don't have a Panera Bread here. There's none in Hawaii. So if you're Panera Bread, you like Panera Bread and you come to Hawaii, sorry, no Panera Bread here. But in the mainland, the lower 48, if you go to Panera Bread and use their Wi-Fi and you try to put something up on Twitter using a Bitly link, they block it. They have basically banned any shorty URLs being posted via their Wi-Fi application, saying that they don't want to be responsible for hidden links going to rogue sites and so forth. They're a family establishment, but you know, don't they know that Bitly's already put in some malware protection for users? I don't fully get their thought process on this, but anyway, that's what they've put in place. What else have we got here? Got a couple of last things for you. The AT&T has introduced the USB Connect. It's a 7.2 megabits per second service, and it's an upgrade to their network that's being rolled out slowly. So if you're an AT&T user and you want to pick up, if you're in Chicago, Charlotte, Dallas, Houston, or Los Angeles and Miami, they're expected to have the new service up and available by the end of the year. So you want to pick up a new 7.2 megabits per second dongle card. And available on November 22nd for free after rebate on contract. So again, just in time for the launches in those cities that I mentioned. Over at Radio Shack, I know everyone goes to the Shack, right? I don't care if you're a geek, you go to the Shack. They always have the connector you need or so forth. But how many? You know, I don't even know if I want to talk about this HD radio. How many of you have got an HD radio in your car? I'm hearing crickets. Do you have an HD radio in your car? If you do, please email us. I'd like to know if anybody actually does. The folks at GigaWare have launched a device that plugs into your iPhone, then plugs into the cigarette lighter of your car, which give you inline control with HD radio for your iPhone for $79.99. Now, I know, if you're listening to this show, you're listening to podcasts. You're not listening to terrestrial radio. You're not listening to, you know, the talk shows and everything. You're listening to this talk show. But if you're so inclined to pick up an HD radio for your grandfather or your mom, not for you, right? $79.99 available at the Shack. Google's looks like they're getting ready to roll a huge number of improvements to all of their apps. There's been some leakage from someone within Google showing some screenshots of some of the new layouts of Gmail and other applications. So I have a link up to that in the show notes, this article that's up on Engadget. All right, over on the Register, bot herders, hey, you know, they're smart. You know, they're like moving targets. They're always trying to stay away from folks who are going to shut them down. But bots have been hiding master control channels in Google's cloud. And so they've been using Google's App Engine to act as master control for their large number of bot networks controlling infected computers. And so it's been found, been struck down, but it's just like one of these ongoing moving targets that continues to evolve. You know, you think they'd be able to shut that bot traffic down right at the switch level. Over on Discovery, you guys go to discovery.com. Well, there's now a new two new websites at Discovery News. They have released a tech and science channel. So if you're a Discovery fan, definitely want to go over there and check that out. All right, we're at the end of regular content tonight. I do have several voicemails for you. I want to thank those of you that have called in and left a comment. If you have a comment on tonight's show, +1-619-342-7365. We'll get right in here to the first comment, then I'll get into the emails after that, and we'll get you guys out of here. But again, thanks for hanging out for this part of the show. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. Here comes the first audio comment.
Hi, Todd. It's Joey Smith in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Joey.
I just want to take a minute. You said you haven't had any voicemails lately, so I thought I'd call and leave you one.
Hey, thanks.
Not sure if you get in time for the next episode or not. But anyway, just want to call and say hi. Thanks for the show. Also, got a question. Do you ever really, not that I'm a big user of it or anything, but I've started just reading a little bit more, and I've heard you mention it a time or two, I believe. But I was just wondering what your use of Linux has been. Anyway, thanks for the show. Bye-bye.
Hey, Joey, you know something? I have 24 hours in a day, and right now about 18 of them are consumed with building a business, running a huge podcast, I guess what we'd call it, network/empire, keeping advertisers happy. I have barely enough time to take a shower. I play around with Linux from time to time. It's definitely not on my priority list. I do have a machine that I can dual boot into. That I play around with, but I just don't find a lot of time, and I wish I did. But as we progress and I get more help and more stuff is taken off my shoulders, I should be able to. And that's one of the reasons why, like this year, I want to get help to do the CES videos. Normally I do them, and last year we had a little help with the videos, but this year I got to outsource all of it. I got to have someone else do the editing. I just do not have the time to do it, and I know we're going to find some great people in this audience to help us out and step up the plate and want to be editors for our content, you know, and get some probably work a deal. I'll have to see how, maybe I just give the hard drives that they're sent, they'll be able to keep or something. I'll do something cool to help add a little icing on the cake for those that are doing video editing. All right, here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd, this is Mark Schneider again from Loma Mar, California.
Hey, Mark.
I just completed my third upgrade to Windows 7, and the last time you asked how long it took, the first clean install took about 20 minutes, went real quickly because I had formatted my C drive. Second one I did was a in-place upgrade, which I needed to do because I didn't want to mess with some files I was working on at the time. So I just cloned my hard drive and did an in-place. It took about 2.5 hours. And I had to uninstall iTunes and Nod 32 and a few other programs and then reinstall them. But it worked great. And the in-place upgrade is actually a nice way to go. It is a lot better than I thought. The last one I did was on a netbook, and it was running XP. So I had to do a clean install on that as well. I was able to use the external DVD player to do it. It worked fine. It took about 30 minutes, I'd say, a little bit longer because of the slower processor and hard drive stuff. But otherwise, you know, it went real smooth. It runs great on all three machines, and so far I'm very satisfied. So thank you. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the call, and thanks for the update on Windows 7. I'll tell you what happened to me. I've got here a copy of Windows 7 Professional. And to my right, I have a HP laptop. And if I press the little button to start, and I go up here to the and right-click on Computer, and I go Properties, and I read what it says there. I'm running on Windows Vista Home Premium. And I have a copy of Windows 7 Professional. My Windows Home Premium is 64-bit operating system. My Windows 7 Professional would not upgrade. Oh, I was a knucklehead. I bought the wrong copy for this machine. So I'm sitting here trying to figure out, okay, I've got to go back and buy another copy of Windows 7 at a non-discounted rate. Doggone it. You know, it never fails. It never fails. You know, you do your best planning, and it told me, oh yeah, you can slick your machine and upgrade to Windows 7. I got stuff on this computer. I don't want to slick it. So yeah, you know, you got to buy the right upgrade product, folks. Make sure you get them matched, okay? It was good for Windows 7, but so I got to break the other machine out. Probably got the same issue. So it is what it is. All right, this next voicemail is from a listener that calls quite often from Vegas. I have to cut out part of his voicemail comment because he goes into some personal stuff. But I want you guys to help me out here, those of you that are Mac users. So we've got a little bit of a concern. He wants a question answered. So Mac users, listen up. Here comes.
Hey, Todd, this is Vince again. Hey, man, how you been doing?
I'm doing good.
Enjoying. I got your download today. Hey, man, but I was looking at some stuff about security for my new Mac, you know?
Yeah.
And I ran across, I think it's pronounced Orbicules Undercover, and they have one for, like, iPhone and the Mac. And I subscribe to the Mobile Me. Because one thing that interests me is that they could find your iPhone. Hey, man, I was wondering, is that the most important? I mean, is that the best that they have going? You know, because after spending $2,500 on a Mac, you know, $50 is kind of cheap. You know, I don't mind that at all. But they got us working over there at the...
All right, V, I think cut it off right there in time. I think that most Mac users use any security software, to be honest with you. If they do, I don't know what they're using. So Mac users, let me know. And what do you guys think about the app that Vince is thinking about running? Love to hear your feedback on that. Geeknews@gmail.com. Or you guys can call it into the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. All right, let me go ahead and get into the email comments, and we'll get everyone out of here. Dave sent me an email. He said, here's more information about the 60 Minutes news story that aired last night. Sabotaging the system, it talks about computer hackers may now have the power to take down the country's critical infrastructure, such as utility systems, banking systems, and maybe military systems. And there's a link to this information via the CBS News website. Dave, I didn't see this particular story. I know that they had one a couple weeks ago that really was portraying the RIAA kind of in a positive way. But this is a new one, and I'll see if I can get some more research on this. But we'll have the link up from the show notes for those of you that want to check it out. Hey, Bree, this is totally funny. All right, everyone pick up their phones. Okay, got to do this for me. Flip open the lid, or if it's an iPhone, put the receiver right close to your mouth. Now, I'm just going to simulate here. Did you know that you can cough into your mobile phone for instant diagnosis? Yes, your mobile phone may soon be able to diagnose respiratory illnesses in seconds when you cough into it. Article on telegraph.co.uk has got the article about how we're going to be able to cough into our phones to essentially, probably at some point, get a doctor to write us a script. So that ought to be interesting. There'll be out there people that'll be fake coughing into their phones just to abuse the pharmacy system. But anyway, oh yeah. Well, anyway, you'll get your diagnosis. Then you can go see your doctor and tell them what's wrong, and I'm sure they'll You know, don't doctors hate that when you tell them, I think this is what's wrong with me, doc. I found that information over on YouTube. All right, got an article, or actually a link from Trucker Tom talking about Rupert Murdoch's big lofty statement about pulling his listings from Google. Have that link up in the show notes. Got an email from Greg. He said, hey, Todd, you may enjoy this as much as I did. Looks cool enough that I'd like to see in a high-def TV. It's a video over on Vimeo, and I did agree. Very cool time-lapse photography, Greg. I'll have this up in the show notes. Got an email from this is kind of interesting. Okay. Hub sent me a link, and it's a you guys know that I have got light panels here in the studio now, right? Well, Hub is my dealer here in Hawaii, and he sent me a link to a one-by-one he's using a one-by-one light panel. They're using a one-by-one light panel in underwater video shooting. So I have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check that out. Got an email from Timothy on Greenfields. He say, Todd, a friend of mine back in India asked me to check out this company. It sounds pretty interesting. Not exactly the tech stuff you talk about, but it may find answering, after all, we all need fuel. It talks about global change on biofuel solutions. And did I already go over this one? Yeah, I think I did. So anyway, that's all the email for tonight, folks. Geeknews@gmail.com on your comments. Remember those two videos that I'm going to link to in the beginning of the show notes that I want you to go look at. Love to hear guys' thoughts on that. And if it doesn't blow your mind as much or make you think, maybe it won't blow your mind, but it should make you think a little bit about what's going on in today's world and where we may be headed on the trillions of internet devices, and also the essentially this first video. I'm not going to give away. You just got to watch it. Love to hear your feedback on those again. And it's so true. So true. Both of those videos, it's kind of makes you go, ooh, wow, at least in my opinion. So, okay, still no travel plans. I'm here in Honolulu. And for those of you that are veterans out there or serving in the military today, going to have Happy Veterans Day on Wednesday. And for those of you that have a veteran in your family, don't forget to say thank you. And remember that the veterans cemeteries are going to be putting up American flags. And if you have a Boy Scout, make sure he gets out there and helps up put flags in the national cemeteries. And, thank a veteran on Wednesday. I would definitely appreciate it. But we'll see you here on Friday, folks. And same time, same place, in your iPod, on your screen, wherever, however you want to consume us, it's easy to do. Come on over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content. Lots of great blog articles right now. The blogging team, going crazy. Writing lots of great stuff. If you're not coming over to Geek News Central and looking at the content on the website, man, you're missing out, because the team has been just boom, 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 daily, hitting on all cylinders. Lots of good stuff up there. Love to hear some feedback, too, on my state of the podcast sphere. What you think about the trends and what we've seen on those 2,318 sites that my team in the Philippines looked at. So lots of stuff for you guys to comprehend over the next couple of days. Until next time, everyone, take care. And thanks for Ohana for being here. You guys are what it's all about. Aloha.